Jacksonville, Florida. It's time for another Hour of Power with Apostle Kimberly Daniels. Get ready for a 60-minute experience that will change your life forever.
Isaiah 59:1-7. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened at all, that it cannot save, nor his ears dull with deafness, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue muttered wickedness. None sues or calls in righteousness, but for the sake of doing injury to others, to take some undue advantage. No one goes to law honestly and pleads his case in truth. They trust in emptiness, worthlessness, futility, and speaking lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth evil. They hatch adder's eggs and weave. They hatch adder's eggs," and the King James Version talks about cockatrice eggs, "and weave the spider's web. Who will eat their egg? He who eat their eggs will die. And from an egg which is crushed, a viper breaks out. For their nature is ruinous, deadly, and evil. Their web will not serve as clothing, nor will they cover themselves with what they make. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, desolation, and destruction, are the paths and highways they travel on." Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your word, your engrafted word, which has the ability to bring continual salvation and deliverance and victorious living. Come on, put that on the screen. Salvation, deliverance, and victorious living. Salvation, deliverance, and victory. See, that's what it's all about. You got to understand, we're not just here to talk about devils. It is not about highlighting the snakes or highlighting devils. It's just making us aware of the wiles and the snares and the traps of the enemies so that we will not be walking around like nice little good Christians that don't understand what time it is in the spirit. You have an enemy. And Paul said, "I'm not just swinging at the air." And guess what? There are demonic seasons. And I want to teach you about the demonic seasons and what's going on in the airways and the highways of the spirit. Because we want to let the devil know that we are not natural men. Come on, put that on the screen. I'm not a natural man. I'm not a natural man. We call him NAM, N-A-M. I'm not a natural man. That means I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith. I don't walk by what I see on the news. I don't walk by everything I hear people talking about. I don't walk by gossip. I walk by the gospel. I don't walk by lies. I walk by truth. Let's look at this cockatrice thing right here. It says they hatch cockatrice eggs. Now, I want you to put that name of that strong man, all right? Cockatrice, mind-binding is a spirit. Mind-blinding is a spirit. Cockatrice is a strong man. C-O-C-K-A-T-R-I-C-E. I'm teaching Bible. I'm teaching Bible. This is in the Bible. This is going to help you on your jobs, your ministries, your businesses, in your community work, and in your house. I'm not a natural man. NAM, N-A-M. I'm not a NAM. I'm not a natural man. N-A-M. All right? Cockatrice. So listen, God said, behold, his hand is not too short that he could save, and his ears is not deaf that he cannot hear. In other words, God see what's going on. See, when you come into spring, you have just made it through the winter. Y'all know we had some hard cold. We had a hard winter season. And you know, the winter season represents something that's been hard. And we just come out of a hard 2020. It was hard, y'all. But guess what? We made it out. And spiritually speaking, we just came out of the winter. Just as it is in the natural, let it be like that in the spirit. We just came out of the winter. And we're going into warmer months. But although we're not in the winter, there are some things that have hid. That could have been worse. The winter is when the bears go into hibernation. The winter is when the snakes go into hibernation. And everything that will try to attack you in the winter months, those real creepy creatures that hibernate, they hide in the winter. They hide when the times are hardest. They could really be harder. I thank God that when I was in the winter, as bad as things were, the snakes were not out. Y'all ain't gonna hear me right here. See, I'm talking about snake season. In that winter time, I was going through, and it was real hard. But somebody need to praise God that it could have been worse, that you was in your winter season surrounded by snakes. Because you know when you're in your winter season, the snakes leave you alone. Y'all gonna get this in a minute. You're gonna get this in a minute. When you're going through, when people done counted you out, when times are hard, you don't have a lot of snakes hanging around you. I'm talking about spiritually speaking, because they have counted you for losing. They have counted you as a loser. They have counted you as lost. In the winter season, when people see the manifestation of hard times in your life, they leave you for dead. The snakes ain't hanging around you. But when the spring breaks, come on, y'all, say spring is breaking. It's spring break. It's spring break, and the snakes are coming. When the spring breaks, them devils look at you, and you look better this spring than you looked last spring. They expect your head to be white with gray hairs from worry. Now, it's all right to have some gray hairs, because that's a natural thing. But when your whole head turned white in a month, you know, the book of Psalms talk about how worry will make your hair turn white. But when they see that you look better than you did when I lied on you. You look better than you did when I took your money. You look better than you did in spring break this year than you did last year. You came out of that hard time, not bitter, but better. Somebody need to help me praise the Lord. I guess you thought I was just going to talk about creepy crawlers, but I want to praise God for the spring break. It's snake season, but guess what? I got a snake alarm on the inside of me. Yeah, it's snake season, but many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us from them all, because I'm walking in the anointing of my spring break. I am getting a break from the hard times. I'm getting a break from the winter. I'm getting a break from everything that the devil meant to take me out. I'm getting a break. Spring break. Yeah. Yeah, the snakes are coming out. But I came out stronger. The persecution made me stronger. You didn't see me because I was shut in. Come on, somebody. Because times got so hard and it was so cold. And the devil was so cold-blooded. And the demons assigned against me were so cold-blooded, I had to shut in and seek the face of the Father. And now I'm not bitter, I'm better. Ain't nobody mad but the devil. There are some folk, they think, yeah, I got him. Yeah, I got her. No, you got me in a right place. And you got the right one. Because God wouldn't have even allowed you to do what you did, except it was a part of a bigger plan. Come on, somebody hit those hearts and say, God had a bigger plan. Uh-huh. He had a bigger plan and a better plan. And what the devil meant for evil, come on, somebody hit those hearts. Listen, do I need to put my heart up here to ask you to hit those hearts and tell God, thank you that I'm not bitter, I'm better. Listen, I ain't frowning. I ain't gonna roll my eyes at you. When I see you, guess what? Ain't nothing gonna be wrong in my spirit, because guess what? I got delivered during the winter months. I got delivered. I got closer to God. You put me in a place where I had no choice. Yes, you left me for dead, but I had no choice but to press into God. Somebody better help me right here. You better tell that devil that you didn't get bitter. You ain't even mad, because ain't nobody mad. I'm not bitter, B-I-T-T-E-R, but I'm better, B-E-T-T-E-R. Behold, God's hand is not too short that he cannot deliver. and his ear is not so dull and deaf that he cannot hear. I need somebody to help me, praise the Lord. I knew I should have waited to take this up, because see, messages like that make me want to give. I don't know about you. Maybe it's just me. But you know, I know what I'm going to do when I get up. And I'm not going to be giving the spoken word. I'm sending some offerings out to some people and giving some scholarships to some folk who have really been in my life and been a blessing to me. Now listen to this. It says, I like this when it breaks this down. It says that, hold on. They trust in emptiness. Put that on the screen. Emptiness, worthlessness, futility, emptiness, worthlessness, futility, speaking lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth evil. And I like this one. It says their feet are quick to run for evil, to evil, which is one of the seven things God hates, when people feet quick to run to evil. And it says they make haste. Y'all better hear me. They don't have no problem with shedding of innocent blood. How can anybody kill a baby at 8 months? That's devilish. Come on. I mean, spiritually speaking, the shedding of innocent blood goes from the womb to death row. You know, I mean, to one. I'm not even in the midst of all of that, because everybody has their own opinion. But how could the same people who want to keep babies alive want to kill men in prison? I just never understood that. Isn't one life just as good as another life? I believe they need to. There is no reason to be killing babies at 8, 9 months like they're doing in some of the cities or some of the states in this country. And there's no reason to be killing men on death row. I'm just saying, it's the shedding. They quick to shed, whether it's from the womb or whether it's from death row. They quick, and then there's a spiritual shedding of innocent blood. There's a spiritual shedding of innocent blood. So let me say this. I remember I was walking, and I remember I was going to see Mike run the 400 meters the track meets, the Florida Invitational, Florida Gators Invitational. I forgot what they call it. And my son had never run track before. Somehow he made it to the track meet, and I was trying to get there because I was thinking in my mind, can I be honest? Oh, surely he'll be out. He done lost by now. You know, I'm just being honest because I'm a technician of track. Yeah, I specialize in track. I understand that you can't just go jump up and run the 400 meters without months of training. Mike just jumped up in a few weeks and qualified, and I'm just going to go and support my baby and tell him he did a good job, because I know they're getting ready to blow his doors. I was walking to the track. I was walking with a person. The person I was walking with, and it was spring, and the person I was walking with, I just all of a sudden stopped. And I stopped. I don't know what made me stop. Something in my gut. I didn't see anything. Something in my gut made me stop. And I stopped. The person kept walking and stepped on a black snake. Now, the snake didn't bite him, but the point is, something in me said stop. Because the Lord know that I would have passed out 20 times, okay? You know, I deal with snakes in the spirit. I run from snakes in the natural. Is that okay? I've never been the one with the hole to kill the snake when it came. My sisters did that. I was the one. That's how I got so fast in Florida, running from snakes, okay? So I stopped. I got a snake alarm. Come on, I got a snake alarm on the inside of me. Now, I'm telling you, that doesn't mean that some snakes have got up under me. Because I'm so nice. Some snakes have stayed in my life longer than they should. Can I say that? I'm saying, and usually it's through indirect me trusting somebody. Although I have a funny feeling about them, I trust somebody else. Now, so I'm not perfect, and I have had some real snakes sit up under me for longer than they should because I cut my alarm off because I figured there were no burglars in the area. I cut my alarm off because I felt safe when I wasn't, okay? So when I cut that snake alarm back on, I know everything. Oh, my God. How did I not see that? Anybody got a snake alarm on the inside of you and you cut it off because you trusted somebody? Look, y'all, put snake season on the screen, okay? So this person stepped on a snake. Let me tell you about a snake alarm that happened. I was walking, and I just got back from Germany. Walking out of my friend Sheila's shop. She wasn't working. She's a beautician. She was on Kings Road at the time. And for some reason, it was Jackman season in Duval County. People were jacking people everywhere. It was around 91, 92. And we walked out of, I had, Faith was about maybe 8, something like that. The twins were little boys. And I had my nephews with me. We walked out of the beauty shop. And as we stepped out the shop, I said, hold up, everybody. I said, now listen. There's a man waiting in the parking lot. And you know, my children, even though they look, they're mama, everything is a demon. What is she seeing now? Okay. So I heard that in my spirit. I didn't trust my little nagging children that didn't believe me. I didn't trust my flesh that said, girl, you tripping again. I said, Sheila, there's a man out here trying to rob us. I never saw him. Sister came out like this with her gun up in the air. I didn't have mine. This is what inspired me to become a concealed weapon owner and licensed. That sister came out and said, you leave my car. And when I looked on the side of my car, the man was laying down on the ground by my car door. Oh, you know, as she had her gun, we was praying in tongues. But I tell you, the devil was there. And that's where I got the message, devil boo, I see you from. Devil boo. Come on, put devil boo, I see you. Snake boo, I see you. It may have taken me a little while. You know, you may have thought you had me. You know, you took my kindness for weakness. But devil boo, I see you. All right? It's snake season. I know y'all done heard this message before. But I got to put a little bit more flavor because I done met more snakes from the last snake season to this one right here. Do you know that if you don't deal with snakes in your life, snakes like to gather together? You know, like Nehemiah, it started with Sanballat and Tobiah. Then it started with Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Ammonites. Then it started with Sanballat, Tobiah, the Ammonites, and all them other enemies. You know, as time go on, Nehemiah was standing his ground, but those snakes were gathering together. Snakes would gather together and turn against you. Pastors, when we go into that boot camp, I'm going to tell you how to recognize people that have been sent on assignment to your church. I can't get into all of the ley lines and the Cajun incantations and all of those things that we need to talk about. And it's not the proper platform to speak about them now. All right. There's another situation. I had a daycare, 7,000 feet daycare, state of the art. I had at the time, you know, state of the art was television and VCR. I had a room, a education room for the kids, and I had 13-inch televisions with VCRs. I was for some reason I went to buy the TVs when it was turning dark. Why would I just get in the morning time? So me and Faith was probably about 12 or something like that. The twins are little, seven or something like that, little younger. And so the Lord quickened me and said, some men. Now, I ain't seen no men now. Some men are in the parking lot to rob you. I don't know if they behind me. I could have ran back in the store, but I don't know if they behind me. I don't know if they're in front of me, but I heard it clearly. And guess what? My children will tell you. I said to Faith, I said to twins, I say, twin, now I got two baskets of TVs, televisions. They gonna jack me for real because I'm a walking some fool for being out there that time of night. I wasn't thinking, but I was praying, God, have mercy on me. I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time, doing the wrong thing with the wrong people. I am not in the telios of God. I should not have mercy on me. So I talked to my children. I said, okay, stop playing. Stop playing. Don't be swinging at each other. Don't sink face. Stop fighting with the twins. Victoria, you know what I'm talking about, that this happened, right? So I told my children, I said, y'all, we ain't going out like this. I told my children, I said, twin, I said, you get them down low and I'm going to get them high. Because I had a big can of bear mace in the side. I'm talking about a big can of bear mace you go hunting with. For some reason, it was in the side of my door. And if it'll knock a bear down, what you think it'll do to, I ain't going to even say what I want to say, to a Negro who tried to rob you, okay? What do you think it would do? All right. So I went to my car and I told Faith, I looked at her, I said, and Faith, you better fight. I just looked at her and said, Faith, you better fight. We're fighting for to get in the car. We're not trying to stop nobody. But if you between us and getting in that car, we gonna fight you. So I pulled the baskets up. I left the TVs behind the car, and I told the twins to get in the car. As Faith jumped into the front seat, the twins in the back, we shut the gate. And before I could get in the car, the man is right up on me and said, ma'am, can I talk to you for a minute? And I said, sir, if you don't back up, I'm going to blow you away from here with this mace. He was maybe about 6 feet away, but I was afraid to make any move. I was afraid. I didn't know if he had a gun. I didn't know. But I look over to my right and I saw another car with his friend laying down, had the seat laid back. They finna rob me for real. The realization of my discernment has become a reality. Kim, you are out here at night with all these televisions, with your children, with your young children, and you about to be jacked, right? This man, I talk him out of it, get in my car, call the police, and the police get them before we got out of the parking lot. Y'all, it's snake season. I'm not telling you to look for a devil under every rock or a robber behind every car. I'm not telling you to ghost. You know, like I said something to one of my friends. Like I was like, oh, well, that's New Jack City over there. I have to, you know, if I'm in a certain area, I don't care what y'all say. Call it what you want to. But if I'm watching everywhere. But if I'm in a certain area that I know that people are being robbed every day, I'm going to have my extra alert on. My extra alarm is going to come up. And then, oh, God got me. I got you. No. I'm going to be watching. I know you got me, but I'm going to get you and we're going to have us. We're going to all watch as well as pray. How many of you know we got to watch as well as pray? And I pray right now that God is sharpening your spiritual discernment, sharpening your spiritual discerner. Because in America, I believe we have gotten so comfortable that we're not used to certain things. And in nice neighborhoods, we have gotten so comfortable that we think that they only rob people in the poor neighborhood. Guess what? If you robbing people with no money, what you gonna get? Robbers go to rich neighborhoods too. Do that make sense? So we need to be on alert. So let me say this to you. Isaiah. Okay, here we go. Here we go. I'm gonna go through this real fast. All right. I'm going to go through this real fast. I'm reading some of the stuff out of this book, and I'm going to read a couple of scriptures, and we're going to pray for God to sharpen our spiritual discernment. Okay. And we're going to pray. All right. So listen to this. The Lord began to share with me that whatever we see in the natural realm is a manifestation of what's happening in the spirit. God said unto me, you have made it through the winter, which represents hard times. And now you have a testimony. The devil wants your testimony. The snakes are coming out of hibernation to take your testimony. God says, beware of the reptilian spirit. Put that on the screen. Reptilian, R-E-P-T-I-L-I-A-N, the spirit of the reptilian. There's certain manifestations of reptilians, okay? And so this word from the Lord prompted me that in Genesis 3 and 1, Satan was a serpent, okay? Then it went to, in the middle of the Bible, in Job 40 and 5, he became a crocodile, Leviathan. And then by the time we get to, and that's in Job 40 and 5, by the time we get to Revelations 12 and 9, the devil has manifested into the great dragon. So I want you to put those scriptures down. Genesis 3:1, Job 40 and 5, and Revelations 12 and 9. Serpent, crocodile, dragon. Notice that as it go on, you go from a snake to a crocodile to a dragon. It goes on to the growth and the manifestation of these spirits. The snake, the crocodile, and the dragon. All right? So listen, one thing you need to know about reptiles, I think it's very important to know. I got five things that I just want you to, put the snake, the crocodile, and the dragon. Y'all listen, I'm telling y'all, the stuff I'm giving y'all is kindergarten. But in boot camp, we're going to Florida State University. Okay, we're going to the university. We're not even going to junior college. The stuff I'm giving you right now is kindergarten. We're going to go from kindergarten to university. All right, in that boot camp, I'm gonna give you some specific details and some specific things that I've been through, how God took me into the enemy's camp and showed me how to deal with cults and the occult. Come on, put that down, cult and occult, put that down. A cult is a group of people. Occult is the actual operation of darkness in secret. Occult. Occult, O-C-C-U-L-T, is different from a C-U-L-T. People just say cult and occult. They mix them up, and I'm not trying to know that. Most of you know, but there are some people on here that don't know that a cult is a group of people operating in darkness, and the occult is the darkness that they operate in, all right? Secret with, okay? The word occult means secret, right? So here we go. Five things. Come on, five things. Five things that we want to say about reptiles are that reptilian spirit. Number one, they're cold-blooded animals. Put cold-blooded on the screen. Number two, they're usually covered with scales. Number three, they love warm places. Number four, they have thick skin. And number five, they lay eggs. Cold-blooded, covered with scales, warm places, thick skin, covered with scales. Y'all, listen. Y'all, I know that we ain't preaching on snakes and ain't no snakes gonna come out. Listen. Listen, don't be distracted by snakes that come out to distract you. If you ain't got a snake coming out in your season, when you're coming out of the cold, hard times, snakes will be right there to try to make you think you ain't been through nothing or what you've been through didn't count. I'm going to say one more time because I know I got the devil's number today. They're cold-blooded, covered with scales, love warm places, they have thick skin, and they lay eggs. So in studying these characteristics, I can compare this pastor to some of the things you may have dealt with in the church. You know, judgment starts in the house of God. You know, we're not talking about people cold-blooded in the club. We know that there's cold-blooded in the drug house. The dope man can be cold-blooded. The jack man can be cold-blooded. But what about the cold-blooded apostle and the cold-blooded pastor and the cold-blooded evangelist? You know, enemies can be cold-blooded. But what about the cold-blooded person you trusted, the cold-blooded person you was in a relationship with? You know, people that are cold-blooded that you thought were so nice, right? All right, cold-blooded. Write down Ephesians 4 and 31. Ephesians 4 and 31. All right, we're going to pray a prayer to deal with snake season. I promise I'm going to try not to be before you too much longer. Ephesians 4 and 31. Okay, look, put that scripture up there, cold-blooded, Ephesians 4:31. To be cold-blooded means to be ectothermic, E-C-T-O, thermic, T-E-R-M-I-C, ectothermic. Now, y'all know we got some names for some demons, but I'm going to talk about how these demons attack leadership in the church and how these demons, and then how leadership can be cold-blooded to attack anointed people under them. Sometimes leaders can recognize the anointing on some people's lives in their church and get intimidated. That ain't never been my demon, because God always gave me enough anointing for myself that I didn't try to worry about God raising up. Because guess what? Any true leader, any true pastor, any general wants to raise up an army. You ain't just a general by yourself to be a general. You know, you're a general to raise up and lead an army. How can you lead? You don't want to lead some people that's weak and don't know what they're doing. You want the best, the best prophets, the best teachers, the best. Come on. And so to be cold-blooded means to be ectothermic, Alicia. So when we're praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, when we command in the morning, I bind that cold-blooded ectothermic spirit in the name of Jesus, the one that has hibernated, the one that has hid out in the corridors of my ministry, in the corridors of my marriage. Oh, let's don't talk about. People don't realize that. You know what? I just believe God for deliverance. I believe that he's going to heal our marriages. But some people were literally married to snakes. You didn't even know you was married to a snake until the thing was over. But I'm going to go on with that. Cold-blooded means ectothermic, or to change body temperature with the environment. Ectothermic. All right? They can change on you. People that change, it depends on what's going on. They change body temperature. They change expressions. They change how they act. They change up on you. And I'm telling you, when you really want to see an ectothermic, cold-blooded person change up on you, it's once they are exposed. When you expose a snake, then you will really begin to see who they really are, all right? Because they've hibernated in your life, all right? All right? To change temperature with the environment. This word also means to execute an action with no heart or no emotion. Have you ever dealt with a person that has no conviction? They're not sorry. They couldn't apologize if they wanted to. They have no heart, no emotion. They can just look at you after causing a huge mess, blame it on you with no emotion, no feeling. That's an ectothermic demon. Come on, somebody. But how many of you know God can deliver? And God will deliver. And you need to pray for them to be delivered from afar. Don't be like me sometime. I be trying to get the devil saved. And you cannot save Satan. My nature, I have to work. I have to work on my nature, because people take my kindness for weak. I'm really a hardcore sister. I really can be something else. But I just give people the benefit of the doubt, and I try to work with them in the church, and I try to say, sister, is anything wrong? Brother, is anything wrong? Let me tell you something. I have been abused as a leader. I have literally, but God has brought me out and I'm all right. I'm the one, because I've been forgiving 70 times 7. And they say, how can you forgive? How can you keep blessing people? How can you keep who keep messing with you? Guess what? Listen, it's God told me this. And he ain't tell me, I'm not telling you God told me to keep doing all that blessing. Some of that was Kim flesh. Then I'm just going to win them. I know. Let me tell you something. Everybody you can't win, and learn from me. It didn't work out for me, and it's not going to work out for you. It's not going to work out for you. Yeah, I'm super sweet, but baby, I'm something else. I was talking to my friend Sabrina. We did a 60-year-old photo shoot between me and her. We're both turning 60. We grew up a couple of houses down from each other, and we was talking about, and she was telling me, like, girl, every now and then she was talking about how people slip and cuss when they save, and know what she said to me? She said, but Kim, She know me. I'm so glad you don't cuss no more. She said, girl, you could put one down. You hear me? You know, I cuss like my blind grandmama. So I can't slip and cuss because I won't stop. I be preaching because the real gonna come out and I'll slip and cuss. That's why I just don't want that realm open up in my life, because I could put one. When I cuss you out, I wanted to cut you like a blade. I didn't cuss you out just to feel better. I wanted you to hurt. I cussed you out because I wanted you to hurt. So for everybody that says, oh, Pastor Kim is such a nice, yeah. God has done something in me, but I'm telling you, deep down on the inside of me, there is a Kim Parrish that folk don't want to pull up, because that sister is something else. So I just don't look back. And I want to talk about not looking back. So cold-blooded animals, let me go on. They are ruthless. They operate in malice. They have evil intent. And they do things to people without a cause. Stop asking why me when you're dealing with snakes. Why you? Why did they do this to you? Because you open your nice self, your nice personality up to a snake. All right? Cold-blooded animals hibernate during the winter and come out during the spring break. They come out just when you're supposed to get a break. Come on, y'all, hit them hearts. When you come out of the season of hardness, that snake is coming out to bite you and to put poison in you. Because guess what? Because you came out of the hard time, now that viper, that's what a cockatrice is. It's a viper. It talks about it being a viper. A viper is venomous. It's poisonous. It doesn't come for you to go and get a bandage on it and put a little Mercure Calm on it. Y'all know I'm from the old school. Now, it comes to instill poison to flow through your blood to kill you. Somebody put it on the screen that it's snake season. And y'all know the little saying about the snake, when the person tried to make friends with the snake. Stop trying to put it on the screen. Stop trying to make friends with snake. Put the snake up, took the snake in, took care of the snake. Stop taking care of the snake. Put the snake in his pocket. And then when the snake bit him, he said, snake, why did you bite me? And the snake said, because I'm a snake. That's what I do. I bite people. I'm poisonous. I'm dangerous. I'm venomous. And I came to bite you, and I can only bite you if I get close enough to you. You know, a snake has to be within reach, and they have to be able to pounce on you. I was watching, I don't know why they have so many pictures of snakes swallowing animals online right now. I keep seeing it, right? And I believe, guess what? Oh, everything is a spirit. Yeah, it sure is, because I don't know why you putting snakes with big old humps in their bellies where they don't swallow stuff. You know, the Bible say the enemy is in 1 Peter, Victoria, give me that scripture. But the Bible said the enemy is roaming around. Somebody put the scripture up for me, seeking whom he may devour. Okay. That word devour is catapino, K-A-T-A-P-I-N-O, devouring spirit. Sometimes a snake won't bite you, but it will swallow you whole. And sometimes it has to bite you to paralyze you and then swallow you whole to suffocate you. Catapino means to swallow whole. In some cultures, over the waters, y'all so offended you can't even say, my friends in Africa tell me that there is a principle of the dark art where you would take an object and you swallow it. You say, this is Kim Daniels. I'm going to swallow her. And you do a ceremony as if to swallow an object. Say, I will swallow her whole. They don't want to bite you. They don't want to alarm you that they're there. They don't want to let you know what they're really doing. They just want to swallow you whole. They don't just want your money. They don't just want your car. They don't just want your ministry. They want you gone. They want to swallow you until you're out of sight and out of mind. Catapino, the enemy is roaming around, seeking whom he may. He cannot devour. But if you do, weapons will form, but they will not prosper. If you do, this is the declaration that you make. And I'm going to give you this. You make the decree that I will become a fishbone in the throat of my enemy. You know what happened when you swallow a fish? You're going to pick that thing back up. Yeah, that's right. 1 Peter 5:8. Thank you, Sharon Jackson. 1 Peter 5:8 say he comes roaming around seeking whom he may devour. And just in case, even if you do devour, weapons form, but they will not prosper. I'm going to make you spit my money back up. I'm going to make you spit my time back up. I'm going to make you spit my, I will become, and my situation will become like a fishbone in your throat. It will irritate you and you will have to spit it back up. All right. All right. So here we go. It says in the natural, the snake comes out, but there's also a spirit of devilish living that escalates during the spring season. You know, and let me tell you, even in prisons, I've noticed that as I travel and as I visit a lot of facilities of incarceration, they keep the temperature cold. All right? They keep it freezing as cold as they can in these facilities that do have air. We're going to say it like that. Because they notice that trouble goes up and the crime gets worse the warmer it gets. So as we go from the winter into the warmer seasons, into what we call the spring equinox, and guess what? I'm going to go, and the spring equinox is not just a natural change in season, but it's a spiritual shift, a demonic shift. Spring equinox, and I'm just going to give you this little nugget here, because in boot camp, I'm going to go through every demonic season and what they mean. And while everybody looking at Halloween and certain things, I'm going to tell you when the real demonic season. But the spring equinox is when the witches, the warlocks, those from the other side plant seeds. This is the time that they're planting seeds to do evil. Come on, they're planting the equinox, the spring equinox. You got the spring equinox, the summer solstice, the autumn equinox, and the winter solstice. I'm going to talk about all of them, but you just need to know about the spring. We're going to stay focused because y'all know I talk a lot. We're going to stay focused. The spring equinox, the spring break, the spring season, the springing forth transition is the time that people plant seeds of wickedness and to do evil, okay? All right. Listen, this is one more word I want you to, and you're going to need this for the boot camp. I'm not going to go into the deep, into the satanic calendar, but a word you need to remember is revel, R-E-V-E-L. All right. Not a rebel. Everybody's worrying about the rebels, but you need to pay attention to the rebels. R-E-B-E-L is rebel. R-E-V as in victory, E-L is revel. And it means hail raiser. Hail raiser are those who lift up and raise hell. Rebel spirit. And I bind every devil spirit that will manifest itself as a snake and a rebel spirit, a reveler, a hail raiser. In the name of Jesus, we shut you down. I ain't gonna go on no further than that. So listen. Number, they're cold-blooded. All right. They have scales. Let's go on. I can't take too much time. They have scales. Job 41:15. Put that scripture up there. Job 41:15, Acts 9:18. In the book of Job, the Bible refers to the scales that cover the strong man Leviathan. And the Bible says that the scales of Leviathan are so tight together that no ruach, R-U-W-A-C-H, no air can get in. No revival can get in. So it's very important that we deal with these scales that cover. In Leviathan, it's a little different. Usually the strong man covers the demons. But with Leviathan, the spirit of pride, the demons cover the strong man. Leviathan is a strong man covered by these scales, which represent little demons. So you're actually looking at, oh no, that's just rejection. Or, no, that's the hurt from his mother. That's the abuse. The little excuses, the little things that cover. No, that's the devil called pride. That's the king of the children of pride who looks at every high place and every high thing. That's the one who lodged the stronghold in the back of the neck. You know, the king, his strength is in the neck. And he lodges his hook in the back of the neck right there. I know a lot of times people always moving their necks and, you know, that's what you need to lay your hand right back there on the small of that neck right there and call anything that's connected with hidden pride covered up by scales. I ain't going to say no more. All right. Acts 9 and 18 speaks of the scales that fell from Paul's eyes. Okay. And that means he was spiritually blind. So can I just move on from scales and say scales can represent pride or scales can represent being spiritually blind? And the word of the Lord tells us that pride goes before destruction. Come on, put Proverbs 16 and 18. Pride goes before destruction. The word destruction in the Hebrew is shaber, and it means to tear the view or to hurt the interpretation of. So these spirits mess with your discernment, all right? They mess with your discernment. It says, pride goes before destruction. And this word destruction don't just mean to fall or to be set up. This word destruction is shaber in the Hebrew. Put it on the screen, S-H-A-Y-B-E-R. Y'all, I can't wait to get into this camp where I have more time to spend from 8 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock with you, and I won't be having to make no excuses about how long, because y'all know we're going to be here all day, and when you leave that boot camp, you're going to be chained. Shaber, S-H-A-Y-B-E-R. It means to tear the view apart or to hurt the interpretation or to affect your discernment or your interpretation to where it's wrong or to deceive you, all right? Remember we talked about the strong men, Leviathan, the king of pride, Behemoth, the king of deception and greed, and cockatrice, the mind blinding spirit. Know those three spirits in snake season. Cockatrice, Leviathan, Behemoth. Behemoth is in Job, the 40th chapter. Leviathan is in Job 41, and the cockatrice is in the scripture we read in Isaiah. Okay, so we got it. Pride distorts our spiritual insight. If you prideful, can't nobody tell you nothing, then you sure ain't going to have no discernment. And if you wrong, you won't be corrected. It's a type of idolatry through which we put ourselves before God. Lucifer said, I will exalt myself. Remember that, okay? Remember that. Deuteronomy 31 and 27. Deuteronomy 31 and 27. Go ahead and hit those hearts. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, why I am yet alive with you this day. You have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death. Deuteronomy 31 and 27. It talks about rebellion. And it talks about rebellion and how rebellion, y'all know, is like the sin of witchcraft. Now, third thing, we talked about the cold-bloodedness, the scales. They have a snake has thick skin. All right. To have thick skin means to be hard to penetrate. A person with a stiff neck is one who is hard to reach or has thick skin. 1 Samuel 15:23 said rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Notice that iniquity and idolatry, they always somewhere close in the same room. Wherever you find idolatry, you're going to find iniquity. And wherever you find iniquity, you're going to find idolatry, because they're spiritual twins. You can put that on the screen. Iniquity and idolatry are spiritual twins. A stiff neck, thick skin, stubborn, iniquitous, idolatrous, rebellious person manifests in witchcraft. Okay. So that's all I'm going to say about thick skin. Y'all know what it means to be thick skin, cold hearted, covered with scales, thick skin, warm places. All right. Here we go. Matthew 12 and 43. Put that on the scripture. Matthew 12. I know that this is a refresher course for many of you. And I know I ain't trying to be all deep, but I'm trying to break this teaching down. And I'm going to get to the things that actually happened in my church, all right? So warm places, snakes like to hang out in warm places. Matthew 12 and 43. This scripture reveals that when a demon is cast out of people, They roam around seeking dry places. The word places in the Greek is anudros. A-N-O-O-D-R-O-S, Alicia. Anudros. A-N-O-O-D-R-O-S. Seeking dry places. Anudros. This word means waterless and having no spirit. The devil is looking for anudros, A-N-O-O-D-R-O-S, waterless and dry places, places having no spirit, dead, monotonous, just clocking time places. That's why we cannot walk in anudros. Don't start a church and then go in anudros. You might well go on back to the crack house and go back to the streets. No sense in you coming in the house of God and not having the power of God. Anudros, waterless, having no power, having no spirit. When the demons have been cast out, they coming back looking for anudros. And when they find it, the Bible said that the state of the person would become seven times worse than before. All right. The word place, anudros, this word means waterless, having no spirit. It actually means that demons are seeking lukewarm places. Y'all got that? Now, I know I broke that down. Yeah, it kind of threw y'all off a little bit. They're seeking it. God said it will be better for you to be hot or cold than to be anudros. They're seeking lukewarm places. That's why these demons and these snakes, they love warm places. God, I just pray for every area in my life where I'm open to a devil and that will be a warm place in my life. Don't tell me you ain't never had a warm place. If you saved, you had a warm place in your life. If you sanctified, you had a warm, because ain't nobody perfect. We all fall short. And it usually comes from that sympathetic magic. Put that on the screen. I bind sympathetic magic of being nice, nasty. Okay? Sympathetic man, being nice. In other words, you being nice, but it turns out nasty. My grandmama said, you're just nice, nasty. You know, in other words, when you nice and it's taking you to a place that it shouldn't be, that's nice, nasty. I bind that nice, nasty spirit. I bind sympathetic. Y'all ain't ready for this boot camp. I just only want the people. I only want the ones who are ready for a change. You ready to strap up your boots and kick them devils out of whatever they've been hibernating in the name of Jesus, right? All right. So just as snakes seek warm places to hibernate, demons seek lukewarm places or nice, warm bodies, okay? Listen, if you say a Christian can't have a devil, let's look at, and I ain't going to stay here long. Let's look at Matthew 12:43. So the Bible says when a demon has gone out of a man, that means that person is delivered. Okay. Listen, I ain't got time to go back with you. Once saved, always saved. A Christian can't have a demon. This is not the platform for you. We do not believe that because we've seen too much and we know too much to show us otherwise. When an unclean spirit leaves out of a man, that person is set free and delivered. So only Jesus can set free. There's no other religion that or tradition that can set you free. So when that demon leaves out of a person, that represents a type of deliverance, a type of giving yourself unto God. But it says that demon that came out of you, as long as you are saved, is going to be looking for a anudros. Looking for a lukewarm. He ain't looking for a hot place. He ain't looking for a cold place. He ain't looking for a Democrat. He ain't looking for a Republican. He ain't looking for black or white, male or female. He ain't looking for one side or the other. He looking for somebody that want to hang out in the middle. He looking for somebody that want to hang out on the fence. That's what he looking for. Uh-huh. He looking for lukewarm. Because, see, lukewarm is unawares. When the enemy comes in, he creeps in unawares. He's looking. He ain't looking for somebody that's all the way in the crack house or all the way in the church. He looking for somebody that got 1 foot in the club and 1 foot in the church. That's where his house is swept clean and garnished and it's anudros. That's what the enemy is looking for. That's what these snakes are coming and looking for. So guess what? Here we go. He's looking for warm places. Revelations 18:2. mentions a habitation of devils. Come on, put that down there. Now, y'all say, you're giving us a lot of stuff. You ain't seen nothing until we get into that boot camp. I can promise you, as I be a woman of God, I am on the surface. I am not going into the deeper things and give the enemy all of our ammo. You are a weapon and you need ammo. We're going to be giving out some firepower in that boot camp. Revelations 18 and 2 talks about a habitation of devils. The word habitation is kator katerion. Katoi katerion. I practiced pronouncing this word. <'Cause it's laughs> Kator katerion. Okay? It is a Greek word. Y'all ready for me to spell it? You ready for me to spell it? K-A-T-O-I. Put a hyphen. We're going to take it a little bit. K-A-T-O-I. Dash K-E dash T-E-R-I-O-N. Katoi katerion. All right? K-A-T-O-I, katoi dash K-E-K-A dash terion. Katoi katerion. And it means a habitation of devils. Woo! I can see you right now, Alicia. I can see you right now, Victoria. I can see you right now, Pastor Fred. Binding katokaterion, the habitation of devils, okay? It is defined as a dwelling place or a permanent house that the devil abides in. A stronghold, katokaterion, okay? You know, God wants to abide in us and so do devils. But they cannot abide in a place that they cannot abide in places that are filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of praying in other tongues. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, not katokaterion. Some folk have become a habitation of devils. Some folk have become a place where devils can come and go as they please, you know, because it's a dwelling place. It's a place on, it's a place they hang out. Yes, this teaching is going to be on Zoom. We're going to have Zoom rooms, okay? All right? Y'all notice whenever Jesus came into the temple, the demons fled. But notice demons were up in the temple and they were comfortable until Jesus came. Now, I ain't going to say it no more. I ain't going to say it no more. If y'all want to know about this boot camp, you need to go to the advertisement. You need to go to the advertisement on this page. And right now, you need to be getting what I'm saying right now. All right? Because this katokaterion, this thing is real serious. A habitation of devils. Alicia, I don't think we ever put that in our command in the morning prayer, but we bind the habitation of devils. And we say that we are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Whenever Jesus came in the temple, the devils cried out, "What are you doing here?" Why didn't the devil say that to the Sanhedrin, to the Pharisees and the Sadducees? They've been there. You know, why didn't the demons were comfortable sitting up there praying with them? But when Jesus came in, the demons fled. Let him in, honey. Let him in, sir. Let him in, ma'am. When you let him in, the devils will flee. Okay. All right. So here we go. When we allow the light of Jesus to abide in us, darkness must flee. A little slither of light. Y'all ain't helping me. Some folk, I need a whole lot of light. No. Jesus is a whole lot of light. But all you need is a little slither of light. If you in a pitch dark room, if you light one little match, it's gonna spark something in that room. Amen. So here we go. Now, devils cannot abide in places that are filled with the Spirit of God. Demons operate in the flesh. I'm not gonna get into all of that. Demons operate in the flesh. But when you are filled with the Spirit of God, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. It'll push that trash out. Listen at this. Lukewarm means mixture. Put that up there. Lukewarm means mixture. Lukewarm means mixture. When we are mixed with hot and cold in the natural, it gets warm. When we try to mix Jesus and the devil in the spirit, we get lukewarm. So just like you mix hot and cold, you get warm in the natural. But in the spirit, when you try to mix Jesus with things, I don't care what kind of church you say you got and what you accept and what you do. When you try to mix Jesus with something that's against his word, it's lukewarm. It means mixture.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's show. To contact Apostle Kimberly Daniels at Spoken Word Ministries, you can call her at 904-237-9363. Services are Sundays at 12 noon or Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And join us again next Sunday evening at 6 here on Praise 107.9.